Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Earlier this week, we had a conversation on the two-pot system. Essentially, a new policy that's been legislated and will come into effect on the 1st of September, allowing us as South Africans to access a portion of our retirement savings with certain terms and conditions, and allowing us to use that as a savings tool that we can access should you need to. On Monday, we gave you a comprehensive detail regarding the limitations and the structure thereof, and we had a resounding number of voice notes and questions. So tonight we're going to address a few of those voice notes and questions we have from you, our Kaya 959 family. And should you have any questions that are still bubbling under, areas that you'd like to clarify, do please send you through your voice notes on 063-688-0959. We'll carry this conversation to a little after 7 o'clock to get some clarity. You're also welcome to dial in on 086-000-959. Helping us out in this conversation tonight is Liz De La Harpe, who's a senior legal advisor at Sanlam Corporate. Such a pleasure to have you with us this evening, Liz. I'm hoping I pronounced your last name correctly.
You did. It's Liza. Hi. Thank you so much for having me. It's lovely to be here.
Thank you so much, Liza. I can imagine yourself and your colleagues have been incredibly busy with preparations in terms of the rollout of the two-pot system. And I guess from what we understand from ASISA and many other peers, businesses are getting themselves in order and ready. But I guess when it comes to the corporate side of things, there must be a lot of questions given the reach that this has, not only to HR officials, but right down to employees of corporate structures, raising a lot of questions and concerns around two-pot. How have you been, I guess, digesting it, yeah?
Absolutely. I must say, I actually joked with a colleague yesterday and I said to you, what are we going to do with ourselves after two-pot is done?
Yeah.
Yes, you're absolutely right. I think especially where there's miscommunication and people that are not correctly informed, you know, you probably also have had, I'm sure, listeners say things that people have heard that the government's going to take their money come 1 September, so people want to quickly resign and take out money. Yes. Unfortunately, I think it's because it's such a massive change, it always then generates quite a lot of questions to get your mind around it. So, yeah, we've been extremely busy, especially you'll see if you go on LinkedIn or all of that, most of the big industry players are actually just posting so many frequently asked kind of easy to understand infographics, because it is a lot of information to digest and it's a massive change. The last time we saw such a big change was back in 2021 with the Provident Funds when they did the compulsory annuitization. So yeah, so this is a big one for us.
It is a big one. And I think also important for us just to go through some of the basics we had touched on in terms of the limitations, understanding that we're accessing a third of our retirement savings. And of that, there are limitations to what, 10% in terms of withdrawals, but limited to 30,000 Rand, which is still taxable, right?
Yeah. So that, just to clarify that, taxable. So you're 100% right. So from 1 September, all your contributions are going to be split. One third is going to go to your savings pot, and then two thirds will go to your retirement pot. For everyone to have access come 1 September, so when this new rules come into place, they've worded the legislation that whatever you have in your fund, so let's say I have 100,000 Rand in my retirement fund today, now 1 September is going to come. They're going to allow that money that was in my fund already the night before two-pot comes into effect. That's called my vested pot.
Yes.
So to allow me immediate access, they're going to allow the fund to seed 10% of my vested pot up to a maximum of 30,000 Rand to my savings pot, so that I have something that I can access from the very 1st of September. So after that, every contribution that I make, one third of it will go to the savings pot, and you can access that pot only once in a tax year. But there's no limit on how much you can take out of it. You can empty it out once a year if you, obviously it's not advisable at all, but there's a minimum withdrawals. It has to be at least 2,000 Rand, so that's where the minimum comes in.
And that 2,000 Rand itself is also still taxable within the following tax years.
Yes, you're going to be taxed on with that withdrawal at your marginal tax rate. So the more you earn, the more tax you're going to pay on that.
Got you. Okay. So it's not just the withdrawal limited to 2,000 Rand. Sorry, that's what I misunderstood. But the balance within the pot actually needs to be 2,000.
No, it's the limit on the withdrawal itself.
Ooh. Okay. This complicates things so much more than, Liza, and almost...
Yes, and that's another thing. Sorry to interrupt you. I think that's another thing that some people might also be, you know, thinking, oh, okay, great, I'm going to have 30,000 rand that I can access on the first. That's the maximum. Only 10% of what your basic pot is can be seeded. So if you're sitting and you only have 15,000 rand in your fund, only 1,500 rand of that, which is 10%, will be seeded to your savings pot on the 1st of September, which means it's less than 2,000. You won't be able to withdraw it yet until it builds up over 2,000.
And again, these are really small amounts, I guess. Well, depending on your perspective, but I guess many South Africans have actually been questioning, is it worth it? Is it not? What are the terms and conditions do apply? I do know that there's one theme that you've also highlighted as a legal advisor, which is not forgetting our marital statuses or the types of marital contracts that one enters into, because that does play an influence on not only your pension fund, but I'm assuming now the rollout of the two-pot system. Help us understand some of the impacts there.
Oh, sure. That's a loaded question. I'm going to have to think about it. Sure. Okay, so let's put it this way. So if you, there are certain limitations that I think very few people have focused on. There's certain instances in which a fund is allowed to actually refuse your request to make a withdrawal. Oh. One of those will be, for example, when there's already been divorce proceedings instituted, or where there is a divorce order that still has to be paid out. If a divorce order is already, a summons, for example, has already been issued, you're actually, the non-member spouse is going to have to consent to you making a withdrawal. So that, but the responsibility is on the non-member spouse to inform the fund. Obviously, if the fund doesn't know about divorce proceedings that are pending, how could they refuse it, mm-hmm. right? So, but yes, there are instances where that kind of stuff occurs. Similarly with maintenance orders, if the fund is aware of a maintenance matter, the maintenance officer has already indicated to the fund, look, we're in the process of this, or there's already an order that hasn't been paid out, the fund can refuse your savings withdrawal request.
Sure. And this can't be implemented in retrospect, right? Let's say one's divorce is finalized in August of this year. Can the former spouse actually come after, so the 1st of September, to make a claim?
That's a little bit different. So claiming from pension interest at divorce, two-pot doesn't change the rights that the non-member spouse has. It's made some technical little bit differences in how pension interest is treated and all of that, in the sense of the Pension Funds Act has been amended to have its own definition. But in essence, for just the changes that we're talking about, no, it's not going to impact that.
Got you. Liza, we do want to get into some of the voice notes we have from many of our listeners, critical questions that really do speak to them. So we're going to start with the first voice note that we have from Sbusiso on the two-pot. If you're unable to hear the question, I'm more than happy to repeat it for you once we're back on air.
Sawubona sesigugu. Now going to lugwazulana man. Ngine retirement which is a provident fund enginayo from employer yami. Then eceleni ngazela to abo Sanlam, ngazela to abo Old Mutual, ngayozivulela amanye ama retirement. Ingabe nawo azaffected na, azoba affected na kule pot system, because it's something engizenzela yona esayidini mina. Ingabe nayo izoba affected na as from the 1st of September.
Siyabonga Sbusiso ngombuzo wakho. Ubalulekile kakhulu. Very important question that Sbusiso asked there, Liza. And essentially he's asking around the fact that he has a provident fund from his employer and they contribute to it, but independent of his employer. Independently, he's gone to other insurance companies to take out retirement annuities. He wants to know, will they all be affected by the two-pot system or just his provident fund with his employer?
Now it's going to be all of them, the retirement annuities as well. The only funds that are not included is your unclaimed benefit funds and your beneficiary funds. Also, there's an exclusion for people who were members of provident funds and who were already 55 and older on T-Day back in March 2021, when the changes happened that I mentioned earlier. If you were already over 55 on 1 March 2021, these new two-pot changes won't impact you, and you're still a member of the same provident fund, I should just add that or stress that, then you'll be excluded unless you opt in. But I'm not sure how, I'm not so good at gauging someone's age from a voice note.
No, true. You and
he
I
sounds
both.
Relatively youngish to me. So.
Definitely. So on that note, so as you say, all the various, I guess, retirement products that he has, the RAs he has independently, including the provident fund, could be impacted. Does that mean he can use or, I guess, withdraw from each of these funds individually?
Yes. So every single fund on its own will be split into three parts from 1 September, and he will be entitled to make his withdrawal from his savings part from each fund once a tax year.
Okay, got you. I think that's important because many South Africans might wonder if they can access all of their products. And as you say, each of them would have that split in terms of the savings part versus the retirement savings. Fantastic.
That's great.
We're going to go to our next voice note from Phil, also on the two-part system.
Hi, I just want to know if it happens that somebody loses their job, and then what happens to the pot? So it stays there until whenever. And in case I don't ever find employment, what happens there? Thanks, Gugu.
Thank you so much, Phil. Oh, sorry, it's Pili. I pronounced your name incorrectly there. That's Pili. The question we had from Pili, Liz, again, in terms of job losses, what happens to the retirement savings in the event of job losses? Can they still access it? And if they continue to struggle employment, does that just need to vest and sit until the time of their retirement, or can they actively access it?
Yeah, unfortunately, the difference that the two-part changes overall is that when you leave employment, whether you are resigning or you're being retrenched, the fact is that you're supposed to keep your money and that the retirement pot has to stay in the fund and you can't access that. So as you know, and I'm sure you would have just gone into the detail in the previous show where you unpacked the whole two-part system change. So the vested part, all the rights that you have today will continue to apply to the vested part. So if you lose your job on 2 September, you will be able to take your vested pot in cash. You'll also be able to take your savings pot if you hadn't made a withdrawal for that tax year yet. The retirement pot, however, will have to stay. You can't access that until you retire. Government has indicated, but I want to put a big, fat, shiny light of a disclaimer on top of this.
Okay.
They've indicated that they will consider in the second phase building in making provisions specifically for retrenchment to access maybe a portion of the retirement pot, but that's not included in the first phase. So as things stand now, unfortunately, it's not in.
Got you. On that note, though, Lisa, if one remains unemployed for an extended period of time, perhaps faces a retrenchment, receives a package from their company, does not access their pension, and along the line, then they realize, hold on, I've got these savings, can I tap into them? Would the tax implications still apply at the tax rate in terms of their personal income?
Yes,
When you're unemployed?
Yes, it'll still be applied, your marginal tax rate, yeah.
Oof, okay, important one for us to take note of there, because that's a critical lesson, especially for many South Africans who might assume that if you're unemployed for an extended period of time, that your marginal tax rate would not apply. But as you say, that would then use the marginal tax rate at the time when you were employed. In terms of the withdrawal.
I must be honest with you, I'm not 100% sure how SARS approaches that, but as in how that works currently, I'm not 100%. I'm not, unfortunately, not a tax expert. I just know the principle, not the implementation part of it.
One
thing that's also quite important, we touched on it earlier and actually thought before I forget, on speaking of tax, I think one thing that people must also bear in mind is SARS has now confirmed that if you have any outstanding tax debts, if your tax affairs are not in order, SARS can issue an IT-88, which is basically a letter of debt that you owe to SARS. So when you want to claim from your fund, the administrator of the fund has to apply for a tax directive in terms of tax legislation from SARS. SARS will then pick it up, look at your tax history there on their systems, and if you owe SARS any money, they will issue an IT-88. And that will be deducted and paid over to SARS before you are paid your savings withdrawal benefit. So
Lisa,
it could very much end up that you end up getting nothing.
Okay. Yeah, that's quite an important one for us to note. If you have any questions, we are in conversation with Lisa De La Harp, who is a senior legal advisor at Sanlam Corporate, helping us unpack and address some of your questions around the two-pot retirement system, especially from a regulatory as well as legal perspective. As you've heard, there are many aspects to consider. It is actually best and advisable for you to speak to a financial advisor to actually evaluate if it is worth it, given the terms and conditions that are attached. Yes, it's an option open to us as South Africans, but one that really does need to be a considered decision. Lisa, we're going to take a voice note and a question we have from one of our listeners from Mbali.
We were told as government employees under GEPF that the two-part system, if you actually access the savings pot, it's almost like you're taking a year off your service. Number of years of service count in our sector, you know, because then that speaks to the higher your earnings, the day you take your retirement. So we were told, or the layman's explanation was that if you tap into the savings, then it's almost like you have taken a year off your service. So it's very interesting to hear that. I mean, there's other aspects to consider, things like tax and earnings calculations and administration fees and so forth. But thank you very much. I guess for me, I'm taking home that try not to touch that money and just try and live a debt-free lifestyle.
Preservation is key. Lisa, your response to Mbali on the GEPF and how the withdrawal might impact their years of service of contribution to the fund?
Unfortunately, I don't work with the GEPF funds, but obviously I do understand a little bit on a high level. It's exactly what she says. Is your withdrawal will in essence amount to reducing your pensionable service years. Similarly, if we actually listen to I joined an investment webinar this morning that was hosted by Cinnabar, and they actually did I actually thought to myself, sure, funds should do this more often. Mm-hmm. They did case studies where they said, let's say person X contributes this much per year and accesses their savings withdrawal benefit every year, every opportunity they get, how many years it deducts from how much money you will have left to take care of yourself after retirement. You know, for example, if you take 20,000 rand every single year from your saving, how it could literally end up that you reduce the number of years that your annuity would have paid out for you one day with years. It really does have, because you're losing out on all that compound interest as well. So you might recall, or for the legal people listening, when this whole change was still in draft form in infancy phase, it actually was referred to as an emergency savings pot. Mm. And, you know, the final legislation dropped that. It doesn't refer to that anymore. Sunham's actually taken a specific view of still referring to it in its brochures and HR guides as an emergency savings pot, because that's really what it should be for. It shouldn't be, you know, Black Friday, Sunham specials, is not an emergency. It shouldn't be, because of the fact that it really does have long-term, a massive impact on your own ability to take care of yourself in your old age.
Sure. Very important that you mention that. View it as an emergency. Otherwise, find an alternative and reevaluate your financial standing. We've got another voice note from Dumelo.
I just want to find out about this two parts of this. Tell me something. Once this has been implemented, and then you can have that savings of 10% or 30,000 on the portion. And then there will be a portion where there will be on your savings for retirement. So what will happen now if in case I resign again after this has been implemented to a new job, and then start a new retirement institution again? Will I get all that retirement portion that I've been saving, including the savings one, and then start the new fresh again? Or it will be continuously to a new retirement scheme on a new job? Can you please clarify me on that?
Oh, interesting question. And I think a very important one that we do need to address. Lisa, we are under pressure just to take ads for a quick moment. So I'll tell you what, we're going to take a quick breather, take a few ads, and then come back to respond to the question that we had from our listener there, Dumelo, essentially asking around moving jobs and perhaps potentially transferring your pension or retirement savings if you will be able to access the full fund from your previous employer. And we've been having a phenomenal, informative discussion that many of us as South Africans need to have, all about the two-pot system. And we've been addressing many of your questions that you've shared with us throughout the course of the week regarding the two-pot system. We've been taking voice notes from the likes of Pili, Mbali, Sbusiso, and the last one we heard was from Dumelo. Dumelo highlighting the concern around the save impact of your two-pot and access to the portion of your savings, especially if you happen to resign from a job, move to another form of employment, and of course, in terms of starting a new pension fund or even transference, if one would still be able to access their savings. And I guess this one, Lisa, depends on what actually happens at the time of resigning from your job, whether he will continue to preserve those funds with the elected pension fund administrator or fund manager that was from the previous employer, or if he happens to transfer that to the place of new employment, does that play a factor?
Yeah, that was actually a very good question. I was thinking to myself as well. I think if I can maybe take a step back in the sense of, so today, if today before Tupot, as we sit here today, if I resign from my company, I have the option to either I can take all of my money in cash, or I can leave it in the fund of my former employer and become a paid up member, or I can transfer it to my new employer, or maybe even to a preservation fund if I choose. So what Tupot is changing is it's not allowing you to take everything when you resign anymore. Mm-hmm. As we know, the retirement part has to stay locked in. So the vested part, you can still take it in cash, your savings part. If you haven't done a withdrawal for that tax, you can take that as well. So in his scenario, when Tupot comes into play, he's still going to have those last two options. So he can either leave it in his former employer fund and become a paid-up member, or he can elect to transfer it over to his new employer fund, or he can transfer it to a preservation fund if he so chooses. So he'll be able to take his vested part and his savings part if he hasn't made a withdrawal for that tax year yet, but the retirement part's going to be locked in, either to be left there as a paid-up member or transferred to his new fund.
Got you. Such important aspects to bear in mind, Chair Liza. And from what we can tell, this is all really bespoke. Depends on one scenario, life circumstances, amount of savings that they have, kind of pension structure that they've in, or pension tool or product that they've invested in. But more importantly, also their age, which plays a significant influence. Whether you were over the age of 55 at the time of the separation of the two pot. And I guess there's one key message we need to drive to many South Africans, and that's to gain as much information as possible. And as you've said, rule number one, treat this as an emergency level of access to your retirement savings, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And really, I think if ever there was a time, it's always been important to get financial advice, but our financial landscape just gets more and more complicated. And I think a lot of people are under the impression, oh, you know, I don't have enough money. I can't have a financial advisor, you know, please. I don't have a lot of stuff to talk about. But it is so important. And that's exactly what they're there for, is to explain to you the long-term impact financially of your short-term financial decisions, especially. So I think this is something where we especially from the side, from the funds side and administrator side, it's member education and member communication. You know, those two things aren't the same. Communication is one thing, but member education is something different. It's to make sure that people really do understand what are their rights, what is the limits, and what they need to bear in mind as the effect of the decisions that they make.
100%. Liza, such a pleasure speaking to you this evening, ma'am. And thank you so much for your time. It's certainly not the last conversation we're going to have, I assume, in the lead up to the 1st of September and the weeks thereafter. There'll still be many concerns we need to address around the two-pot system. Thank you again.
Thank you. Such a pleasure. Chat soon. Bye.
Thank you. Liza De La Harpe there, Senior Legal Advisor at Sanlam Corporate, helping us address some of your questions regarding the two-pot system from a regulatory and legal perspective. One key point Liza's mentioned, view this as emergency access only. Given the limitations, 10% of what you're able to access, limited to 30,000 Rand, and at least able to withdraw 2,000 Rand in the years after from your savings pot, bearing in mind that this will be taxed, that there are additional fees that could also be compounded and added to that, and the overall impact of actually reducing the compound interest effect on your pension savings for the long term. It's not a decision that should be just entered into very lightly. So seek as much financial advice and guidance as you can before taking on such a bold decision.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.